Okay, welcome to today's Utah pre-recorded podcast entitled Risky News ChatGPT. I'm your moderator, Marcelo Cardoso, legal ops supervisor from Mercado Libre, and I'm joining today with Leonardo Tocco, founder and CEO at GPT Law, a legal tech focused on Gen AI. I want to express my sincere gratitude for this, for your participation, Leo, in this chat. And well, let's start with some questions about this topic for our guest. The first one, we are hearing a lot about generative AI and AI systems like ChatGPT. And this is another hype as blockchain and metaverse.
Hey, Marcelo, great to see you and to collaborate with you on this. We need a lot of information sharing, so this is a very good moment. I would say that every technology has their hype, and hype basically on technology means that a lot of people expect a lot from the technology, and sometimes the technology don't handle that. So, but this is different if you think on blockchain, metaverse, and generative AI, that's the latest technology, let's say. The difference, there's a lot of difference, but some of that we can point is, for example, the OpenAI, who is the one that created the ChatGPT, what they did is that they democratized the access to that. So today, anyone can go there, create an account and start using. For you to start using blockchain or to use metaverse, you need to have usually a specific case and so on. So the access and the use and the response with generative AI is very different, and you feel that. If you know how to do the prompt, like it's like basic, more advanced commands, you receive the result directly. So the main change is that, I mean, it's not something that's flying, that's people don't know how to do it. I mean, you can see the results. In on legal, we see a lot of already people and companies working on that and getting impressive results. We'll talk a bit on some examples, and it's great.
Okay, but this is something that will stay. What is the impact on the legal world, for example? We are hearing a lot about legal AI and issues related to generative AI for legal. But what is the impact? It is something that is just a hype, or will really impact the legal world?
Okay, that's great. And one interesting thing is that I will give some examples, but it's important to say that the CEO of OpenAI, whenever he asks people ask him the impact, he always put legal. I mean, you always hear legal, and this is the guy that's driving all these main changes in his career. And as much as I put the I create the prompts, I see really that's the very strong. And the, any technology, the what sets apart is the use case. So let's talk a bit on some examples, some use case, so you can see the impact. Let's think on a contract. I mean, anyone, any lawyer, any company has a lot of contracts, and you need to revise contracts. Usually you do by hand, or you have a software to do it. But today, if you can input the contract inside ChatGPT, for example, a part of that or the full PDF, and starting to ask questions, to ask reviews, to ask for risk, like, please give me the 10 main risks, or please give me reward some phrase. So this is very easy to do, and it's already impacts a lot, because I mean, you can have a lot of, you can do stuff with a lot less time than you spending that. So, and we always say that it's not a fight between AI and the lawyer, for example. It's really the lawyer knowing how to work together with the machine and to achieve those results, you know? So this is even true when I saw some people trying to put patents on creation on AI, and the institution say, no, that's not a patent, because a person that was working together with the machine that created that. So it's really in front of that. So contracts is one for sure, because of, I mean, you can do a lot, imagine risks and so on. But for sure you can great claims. I mean, FIRAC, for example, I know in US is a very interesting way to build documents. You can ask the ChatGPT, you provide some information, it creates already very good documents. So it's really about knowing a bit how to work with ChatGPT and getting all this information, all this results that's very very direct and very practical. You know, it's this is really, and I see that a lot of people, and perhaps you ask, that we see on the news that people failed using ChatGPT and so on, and that's really because it's not the usual way that we used to go to, for example, Google or any browser to look for something. The way we look for something on browsing is really trying to match some words. ChatGPT or any generative AI technology, they were not trained, they don't respond like this. You gotta put a lot more data, I mean, information, you copy and paste there. And because of the context, he predicts the next word or the next token. And so you gotta know a bit more on how that works to really receive information, to have information and very good information there. But it's clear, and just to finish on that, what I'm doing is really, I'm mapping the activities on the legal practice, what the lawyers usually do day to day, and building the related prompts with the results. So you can clearly see that, and that is impressive. Every day you see they launching new stuff. As we talk now, ChatGPT can see the documents and can identify legal documents, say what is there, what is inside there, for example. And I mean, it's amazing what is going on now.
And Leonard, I had the opportunity this year to participate in the Clock Summit in Vegas, and there was a lot of companies presenting something new related to Gen AI and ChatGPT, mainly in contracts. And one issue that everyone was asking, it's about data privacy.
Yeah.
What is true and what is false about this theme?
Okay. Yeah, when I talk on privacy, that's a very important topic. I think it's very important to split on three parts, okay? One is the data that was trained. The second one is the input that the information that you input inside ChatGPT. And the third will be what it generates with your input, you know, because they're applying different. So let's start with the last one, that the information generated. It can be text, it can be image or anyone. The companies like OpenAI and the other LLMs or companies that build the models, they clearly state that the information is yours and whatever you create is yours, so that you don't have any issues on privacy or in data ownership on the creation itself. Okay, so on the middle one, the information that you input inside the ChatGPT, for example, if you create account now, you see a big window when you sign up and the first time say, oh, we may use your data. That's very clear. But there is a big but. If you can control that, if you know, that's why I say you need to study a bit, or is not just going there and trying to get results. You need to study a bit more. You see there is a very easy control that you go there and switch a button and say, oh, I don't want this data to be trained by OpenAI, and that's set. So it's really knowing these things, you know, and other ways to access, for example, APIs and other ways, they don't get trained. So this data from you or from the client, there are ways to not get trained or to maintain the privacy. The main issue is now is the data that was trained, because as we say, the ChatGPT was trained in all the data, there was all the information that was open on the internet. That is true, because basically they need a lot of information, because they do like a map of all the words that are together, like a synapse as we do on our brain. We kind of do that on the intelligence systems, and so this was needed to do that. And the issue is that perhaps some books that was written and they shouldn't have been written. I've seen new LLMs or new models being trained without these books, so they don't have issues. We see people or authors suing the companies, but that will get sorted out on the meantime. I also see a lot of discussion saying how we share or how we share the profit that the companies will give, because it's a common, they have like a common use. For example, think if you have a blog and you create a lot of content, and they go there, and the ChatGPT or another LLM go there and read that. How will you get paid, or any people that create content will get paid? They are discussing like a tax for distributing that, and that's very interesting. But even on that, what I'm also seeing is that of Microsoft, OpenAI, and other companies, they are providing, or they are saying that any clients that have any legal issue with that, they are having, they will help them. They have lines with legal teams helping on that. So I think I would say like this change occurs in every new technology or every new way to do stuff. Let's just think on Uber. When Uber started, it was a chaos. People was not knowing how to do, and there was set. And I'm sure this will be set, and the benefits are far greater than that, and they will find their way to do it, you know. So I'll say, if you know how to do and you know how to classify, you are safe. The company is safe.
I believe this is the point. The people don't know how to use, and about they don't know. And this is the reason about this fear of data preps. And I will try to merge the next two questions in just one. For example, we have this tool have been using the wrong way. So how we can use it the incorrect way, and how we can get data about this technology? We can exclude our fears about this, and we can get more information that can be used in benefits of our job.
Okay, great. The first thing is that, as I told you, as the ChatGPT, what he does is that he gets the data that you input and try to predict the next word. The more words or the more information you put there, it's easier that the data will not, or the response will not be as hallucinated, as we call. That's apparently right, but is wrong. So what I always say, start with a good text. If you have if you want him to revise a contract, put the contract there. I mean, copy and paste the contract there. So he'll be working, or it will be working based on a text that's yours. Because if you try to ask too much stuff, I mean, just ask an open question, you see that perhaps he can bring you not good information. So if you need to want information, don't go directly to the information one. Try, do you know something about this related to that? And you start to see, to feel that he knows. If he not knows, you can correct and say, this is wrong, or update me on that. So you go guiding until you do. So we usually say that you don't just go do a prompt, a command. You do 2, 3, 4 to make sure the information you get is strong, you know. And really not trusting, I mean, just copy and pasting the result. That's not the point, you know. And I mean, I'm helping companies and law offices and legal departments. What we are saying is that the lawyers will do 2 things when they're using generative AI. You think the idea. So for example, when you want to build a contract, you do 3 things today. You think on the strategy, what contracts you want, and you build, search for some templates. You do the contracts, you write the contracts, and then you revise, right? With generative AI, you think you have a lot more time to think on the contract, on the strategy, because who will build the contract itself, for example, will be the ChatGPT, and then you revise that. So the hard work to really writing that will be from the machine. And so, and like if you expend 1 hour, that can be, if you know how to work, you can get it in seconds. So you have a lot more trying to think on strategy, and then later to to revise the document and the information. So that will be the new way to work, let's say.
Well, so we are finished now. I want to thank you so much, Leonardo, for presence and your time. And we know that it's complicated to organize the agenda for an next event like this, and even more with the incredible content that you share with us. So I want to express to my deep gratitude for each of you that has accompanied us and supported through this journey in Utah. It's truly exciting to see how our community has grown in a family of such dedicated listeners. So see you next time, and thank you again for your time and your content. Leonardo.
Thank you very much. It's a great time to join, and that's a fact. Let's join that and use that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.